Winging towards the committee.
Indeed. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is the 30th of May, hard to believe as it might be. And this is the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order, and I am going to open a work session. That's right, an actual work session on House Bill 5007 relating to the financial administration of the Oregon Employment Department. Ms. Deister, we're going to vote today on the budget bill for the Employment Division.
Mr. Co-Chair, God willing, yes. So it is with great relief that I present you with this budget. It's been a long road, and here we are. The Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending a budget of $1.8 billion and 1,298 positions. That's 1,239.78 FTE for the Employment Department for the 2017-19 biennium. The adjustments in the LFO recommendation include a revenue reduction package that balances expenditures with available revenues, and that is due to a few things. It's sort of the net change, acknowledging that one-time READ Act distributions from the federal government are largely spent and won't be available to backfill administrative funding. It also takes into consideration the fact that employment rates are better. Remember that Employment Department funding is counter-cyclical. So they get more funding from other funds and federal funds when unemployment rates are high because you have more people utilizing their services. And as you have fewer people utilizing those services, the administrative funding goes down. So that's basically what you'll see in the 070 package. Package 101 is that modified IT modernization package that they basically came in and presented for us on during phase two. So that is going to be in package 101, and I'll be walking through all of these specifically. There's $4.8 million in additional federal funds expenditure limitation to reflect the reauthorization of the Federal Trade Act. You'll also see adjustments in here related to the Federal Work Opportunity Tax Credit Program and other funds expenditure limitation related to contracted job placement assistance that the Employment Department provides to clients of the Department of Human Services. There are technical adjustments to reflect the movement of positions between divisions of the department, and an adjustment to eliminate general fund in the Employment Department's budget for the Oregon Talent Council. Package 802 provides other funds and federal funds expenditure limitation for reclassification of positions. These were reclassification packages that didn't quite make it through all levels of the approval process, but were in process during the interim, and so we're incorporating them into the budget now. And Package 812 abolishes vacant positions, and Package 814 transfers three IT security positions to the Office of the State CIO. So with that, we can, if there are no questions.
Start. Are there any questions so far, colleagues?
We can start walking through the work session presentation report.
Please.
Okay. So, as I mentioned, the Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending a total funds budget for the Employment Department of $1.8 billion. The whole agency is summarized on page 1 of 31 of the work session presentation report. You turn to page 2. This is where we start going division by division. So the first one we're going to talk about is the Shared Services Division within the Employment Department. LFO is recommending a budget of $15,827,793 other funds, $28,200,373 federal funds, 138 positions, which equates to 136.91 FTE for the Shared Services Division. Sorry, I'm going got to see what. Okay, so the first package you're going to see within this division is that package 070, that revenue shortfall package. It's a total of $1,737,000 reduction to other funds expenditure limitation. And as I mentioned, that reflects those federal administrative funds that the Employment Department receives to administer the UI program and the Business and Employment Services program, they call it the Workforce Operations Program is what we're calling it now. The federal administrative funding is falling compared to the current biennium.
Oh, sorry. Yes, Representative Reardon.
I'm sorry. This is the point at which the student hates to raise his hand and ask, but I'm not sure what page you're on, teacher.
I am on page 3 of 31 of the work session presentation report. So if you look at the LFO recommendation on OLIS, it first has sort of that summary memo, and then if you keep scrolling down, you'll find the work session presentation report attached to that. It's a PDF document.
HB 5007?
No, not the recommendation. Go down.
Thank you.
Okay. Again, that's an other funds reduction of $1.7 million. Page 4 of that report, you'll see page 4 is basically a blank. You'll recall that the agency set up its budget to have portions of its modernization, IT modernization package in all of the various divisions. I'll get to this later, but the Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending that all of those expenditures related to this project be consolidated into a new administrative division, a new budget division within the department, so that we can more easily keep track of those expenditures in one place and see where it's being spent and how many people are being devoted to this effort.
Representative Dearman.
I was trying to help Representative Reardon, and I think I don't know where the document is either.
Okay.
Help both of us find out.
All right. May I take a quick break here? Let's see. I'm hoping that it's posted here. Come on.
You know, I have this.
This is nice.
I can't quite get it.
Let's
there we go.
All right.
Okay, yeah. So if so you keep scrolling down here. Okay, give me. Anyway, keep going down.
Page 4.
That's the one I was looking at.
Yeah.
I think it might have been. Sorry.
Keep going. There you go.
Okay.
That's what you're looking for,
okay.
Right there.
Okay. Just
okay.
For the record,
is
for
everybody
the record I was
you?
On the right document.
Is everybody on the right page?
Same no. Page? Are we all on the same page?
We need help down here.
We're not sure.
Literally, not figuratively.
Too far.
Really? Hey. Are we talking with keeper phone?
No, we're talking the LFO recommendation document.
Okay.
And you keep scrolling. Okay. Just keep going, and you'll eventually hit the Orbitz report. Is attached to that.
Oh,
there
yeah.
There we go.
There.
Ta-da.
There we go.
For the record, I was also the first one honest enough to admit it.
Okay. Page 5 right. Of 31. This shows you the adjustments related to package 801 in the shared services division. What you'll see is an increase of $195,206 in other funds expenditure limitation and an increase of $847,459 in federal funds expenditure limitation, as well as 5 additional FTE. This package is basically the approval of permanent finance plans for the Employment Department that were submitted since the release of the governor's budget. So, what the 5 positions basically are reflective of the movement of positions from the Unemployment Insurance Division to Shared Services. You'll see corresponding negative positions when we get to UI related to this. So it's the net of those two actions, the transfer in of people and the reclassifications of those positions. Okay? All right. Package 802. Okay, I misspoke. That was just the transfer in of those people. Okay, so package 802 is actually the reclassification. And here what you're seeing is a principal executive manager F is being reclassified downward to a principal executive manager D, while a human resources analyst 3 position is reclassified upwards as an operation and policy analyst 3. So the net of those two actions is an adjustment of a reduction of $26,471 to federal funds expenditure limitation. Package 814 reflects the removal of 3 positions related to IT security from the agency, and those positions will be transferred to the Office of the State CIO and picked up in that agency's budget. And then we move on to the Unemployment Insurance Division. The Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending $31.7 million in other funds expenditure limitation, $90,688,185 in federal funds expenditure limitation, 563 positions, and 513.49 full-time equivalent positions for the Unemployment Insurance Division. Package 070 in this division, this is the package to balance the expenditures with available revenues. It reduces expenditure limitation by a total of $2.3 million and reflects the elimination of 8 permanent positions. Again, this reduction is necessary due to a decline in administrative grant revenue attributable to lower unemployment rates, and also reflects that READ Act dollars are largely spent. Okay. Again, package 101, you're going to see a blank. As I mentioned, we're consolidating all those expenditures, and I'll talk about those when we get there. Package 801, these are those 5 positions that moved out of the UI division that I just talked about previously. So you have an other funds reduction in expenditure limitation of $195,206 and a federal funds expenditure limitation reduction of $847,459 related to this adjustment. Package 802 is in the UI division, our reclassifications related to positions in this division. It results in a net adjustment of a $56,002 in an increase in federal funds expenditure limitation. So basically what's happening here is that you have 2 Business and Employment Specialist 2 positions that are being reclassified to Program Analyst 1 positions. 2 Business Employment Specialist 2 positions that are being reclassified to Training and Development Specialist 1 positions, a Legal Secretary position that is being reclassified to an Operations and Policy Analyst 1 position, and a Revenue Agent 3 position that is being reclassified to a Compliance Specialist 1. Package 812 reflects the elimination of a vacant position. And that is a position that would have been used to fund that reclassification had it gone through the administrative process rather than the budgetary process. So
one position.
That reduces federal funds expenditure limitation by $318,445, and it eliminates one FTE.
Those two together.
In the Workforce Operations Division, the Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending other funds expenditure limitation of $61,485,161. Federal funds expenditure limitation of $33,790,779, 421 positions, which equates to 419.05 FTE. Again, we took out the expenditures related to modernization of IT infrastructure in this particular division to be consolidated into a new division. Workforce operations, package 102. This adjustment relates to the renewal of the Federal Trade Act and anticipated workload that is associated with that. You'll see the Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending additional federal funds expenditure limitation of $4.8 million and 30 positions related to this particular issue. Congress has reauthorized the program through June 30th, 2021, and basically we're adding to the department's existing 12 permanent positions by adding 19 permanent positions and 11 limited duration positions based upon projections of what workload is anticipated to be for 17-19, which was determined by analyzing the number of applications and approvals to date. The package is also providing for a program analyst 2 to facilitate cooperation among workforce partners, and 3 program analyst 1 positions to facilitate connections among employers and clients in the Tri-County area, which has the highest number of trade-affected workers, plus a management position and an office specialist to help regulate this workload and get these services to these folks. It tends to be a more intensive service to these particular trade-affected workers. Package 103 is the Federal Work Opportunity Tax Credit Program. The Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending an increase in federal funds expenditure limitation of $497,050 associated with this package and 3 positions. Basically, the Employment Department has gotten caught up on all of the backlog of federal workforce opportunity tax credit applications that they had, and they have found that there are many more Oregon employers who are potentially eligible for this program, but for the fact that they don't know much about it, and this gives the Employment Department the staff to help market this program among Oregon employers and provide for a win-win at very little cost to the state of Oregon. Additionally, additional program usage by those employers will generate additional federal funds revenue to sustain the program going forward. So the hope is to get more employers to take advantage of this federal tax credit that's available to them. Package 104 is a package that a similar package to package 104 has been approved in each of the past 7 biennia. Every biennium, the Employment Department works with other agency partners to determine how many clients may be available for more intensive and specialized job placement assistance, and they provide those services to those clients under contract with those other state agencies. So this is $794,420 of additional other funds expenditure limitation associated with this package, and 5 FTE. These are limited duration basically, we tend to take a look at this every biennium and adjust it based upon the number of clients that the Department of Human Services and other state agencies anticipate that they will be trying to place in job programs. Package 802, here again is a position reclassification for this division. The adjustment amounts to $256,022 other funds and $220,310 federal funds. Two positions and two FTE are included in this package. The positions that are being reclassified include business and employment specialist two positions that are being reclassified to training and development specialist positions, program analyst positions, and there's also an office specialist one that's being reclassified to a business and employment specialist two. An executive manager D was reclassified downward as part of this to an executive manager C level, and an operations and policy analyst 2 position is being reclassified to an economist 2. Two operations and policy analyst 2 positions are created from these actions, and one management position you will see is abolished in package 812. So these are all tied together, and again, what you're seeing here is net adjustments. Package 812 is that elimination of a vacant position, $236,439 other funds expenditure limitation is reduced, and that is part of what is being used to finance the reclassification in the previous package. For the Office of Administrative Hearings, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends a budget of $27,506,872 other funds and 104 positions, 102.88 FTE. Package 812 eliminates three vacant administrative law judge positions for an other funds reduction to expenditure limitation of $624,567.
I should know the answer to this, and I don't. But by reducing those administrative law positions, I don't recall from any previous testimony or conversations what the caseload is and whether or not the agency could comment on what that's going to do in terms of pushing cases through. Were those positions that you struggled to fill or that are unnecessary? I just would like to get that on the record because we have been very critical of some folks that are hearing cases and trying to get the caseload flow managed well. If I could ask the agency, Mr. Chair, to come
absolutely
up and comment on that, that would be very helpful.
Thank you, Director. Of course, if you could introduce yourself for the record.
I will. Good afternoon. Kay Erickson, Director of the Oregon Employment Department, and I'm going to take a little bit of leeway here and speak on behalf of Gary Tyler, the Chief Administrative Law Judge of the Office of Administrative Hearings. It's my understanding that these positions have been vacant for some time, that given the current workload and the mix of cases they have now, these positions are not necessary.
I just wanted that on the record because if a time comes when they get a significant backlog, I want to remind ourselves that we had taken this action. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, moving along to the Workforce and Economic Research Division. We're in the home stretch, people, I promise. The Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending a budget of $6,873,617 other funds expenditure limitation. Expenditure limitation of $7,650,824 federal funds, 54 positions and 53.50 FTE. I'm going to just go ahead and skip the empty package 101 and move right on to package 802. Again, we have reclassifications in this division as well to reflect more efficient utilization of existing staff. So other funds expenditure limitation is increased by $63,168, and federal funds expenditure limitation is increased by $49,706. Three existing Economist 1 positions are being reclassified to Economist 2s. One Economist 2 position is being reclassified to an Economist 3. Three existing Research Analyst 3 positions are being reclassified to Research Analyst 4s. A Research Analyst 3 is being reclassified to an Operations and Policy Analyst 3. A Research Analyst 3 is being reclassified to an Economist 3, and two existing management positions are being reclassified to Principal Executive Manager E classifications. So one Research Analyst 2 and one management position are abolished in Package 812, which, if you scroll down to the very next page, you will see. Package 812 reduces other funds expenditure limitation by $412,749. Which brings us to, excuse me, the Oregon Talent Council. And you will see that the LFO recommendation eliminates general fund associated with the Oregon Talent Council in the Employment Department's budget. In the current biennium, they have two positions and 1.67 FTE. And that action is taken in Package 801. The Modernization Initiative, excuse me, my staple is coming apart here, is the new division that the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends to be created so that we can track expenditures related to modernization of IT infrastructure in the Employment Department, as was presented to you in Phase 2. This is expected to be a multi-biennia effort. And in this way, we'll have a better comparison over time of how positions have been added and expenses to date over the various biennia, because we generally compare at least two at a time when we're presenting information to the legislature. So the Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending other funds expenditure limitation of $4,682,313 other funds and 18 positions, or 13.95 full-time equivalent positions associated with the modernization initiative. There's a lot of narrative here in Package 801. I'll try to summarize it as best I can. You'll recall, perhaps from Phase 2 presentations, that the Employment Department currently has about 7 existing positions working on this initiative that were approved as part of this biennium's budget, 15-17. So the package provides for continuation of those 7 folks. And obviously, as the biennium goes on, additional positions will be added. I'm just trying to figure out a good place to start here. What we're hoping and what the agency is planning is that this limitation will enable them to finish their feasibility study and will include a strategic plan for modernization going forward that's going to incorporate their business needs, identify business and solutions requirements through process mapping, determine what market solutions exist, and perform a readiness assessment to identify the department's level of readiness to initiate the actual project itself. They are aspiring to complete their feasibility study by January 2018. After completion of the feasibility study, the Employment Department is going to be working with the state CIO and the Legislative Fiscal Office to secure endorsement of further work on the project, that stage gate approval process for stage gate two. And that will entail the development of a more detailed business case, foundational project management documents, and independent third-party quality control reviews and risk assessments. The Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending $4,682,313 in other funds expenditure limitation and 13.95 FTE.
Madam Co-Chair.
I just feel compelled to put this on the record as you guys embark on this project, and that is to be direct and early with the legislature as to progress. I think an awful lot of stock was put in the Department of Revenue's transformation, and based on testimony we've heard in another committee and based on a lot of contacts from people that work there, that is not an unalloyed success. In fact, quite the contrary. It is torturing taxpayers and is making work at the agency more problematic. And for some of us that have lived through these failed IT projects in the past, I just can't say with enough emphasis how much I encourage you to be straight with the legislature. We can work with in helping to identify early problems. The last thing we want are any more IT surprises, and this one has the potential of doing that. We've talked about it before. I'm supporting it. It's not a matter of not wanting you to come into the next century and continue to struggle to maintain these legacy systems, but please don't hide the ball if things start to go bad. And be open to what your frontline folks offer in the way of suggestions. You see some of these programs that are so management intense and not taking into account what the guys that are actually doing the deliverables have to say. So that's my fervent hope for this package. When this budget passes, and I assume that it will, you're undertaking a pretty perilous journey, and I just hope you keep the legislature as a partner in that journey.
Representative Nierman.
Good. So I just have a little question. Mm-hmm. So about half the funds for this IT project are unscheduled. What's the legal procedure to reschedule those funds?
Thank you for the question. I was going to mention that the LFO recommendation does incorporate the idea that the recommendation is with the understanding that 2.8 million of those dollars in one position will be unscheduled. So pending a report by the Employment Department to the 2018 legislature on project status and favorable recommendations from both the state CIO and the Legislative Fiscal Office IT analysts on project readiness before the remaining funds are rescheduled to complete the planning activities for the biennium. So they would come in, they would report to the 2018 legislature at a committee to be determined, most likely this one or the JLC IMT committee, perhaps both, again, to be determined, and an analysis of where they're at would be made. And yes, things are proceeding according to plan, or no, they're not, and here's what they need to do differently. The process for rescheduling is once those favorable recommendations have been given by both the state CIO and the Legislative Fiscal Office, we would work with our partners over at the state the chief financial office to say, okay, go ahead and put these into their regular quarterly allotment plan so that they can spend the dollars for the rest of the biennium as necessary. It's an administrative function. It's not necessarily a legal proceeding that requires legislative action.
So if I can follow. So then it's the legislative acceptance of the report and the state CIO's blessing or whatever. There's probably a better legal term than that, but okay.
I think that's a very fair characterization, okay. Representative, yes. So the positions that are going to be added as a result of this recommendation include a contract specialist to help develop and manage quality assurance. It includes positions associated in the various divisions of the employment department that are basically going to be filled in behind. These are the folks that will be keeping the lights on. We're transferring about 8 positions over to this particular task from the unemployment insurance division, the business workforce operations division, to basically help with the process mapping and help with the business needs analysis of what these new systems are going to need to be able to provide based upon the work that these divisions do. And in the meantime, you still need to have people sitting in those chairs to do the regular work that the people being transferred over are leaving behind. So that's what 8 of those 18 positions will be doing. So hopefully that created clarity rather than confusion.
I'm sorry, I didn't see that. Yes, Representative.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I just want to be really as clear as I can. I also support this project. Obviously, it's long overdue. But I'm also making me nervous. So at the end of 2 years, we'll have a feasibility study and quality control reviews, risk assessments. Mm-hmm. How far through the project will we be? I mean, if a complete project is, you know, a whole new software system and everybody is smiling and happy, how close are we after 2 years and almost $5 million?
After 2 years and almost $5 million, the hope is to be able to basically go out for procurement. We will know what we need. We will start looking at who might be able to provide that and be drawing up the contracts to basically do the request for proposals at that point. Okay. No dollars to actually implement new technology, but the ability to go out and purchase it. So hence, it's real important that they continue to be very involved with both the state CIO and the legislative fiscal office as this project progresses.
But they're really close to implementation at that point. So.
Certainly getting an idea of what
to buy.
Exactly. Okay. And at that point, overall project costs are hopefully going to be a lot more clear than they are right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So, am I going backwards or forwards? I'm going backwards. Okay.
You're on page 31.
Yes, I'm on page 31 of 31. Can I get a hallelujah? So, basically, what you'll see on page 31 of that Orbitz work session presentation report are the other funds, the non-limited other funds and non-limited federal funds expenditure limitation associated with the employment department. These are, for lack of a better term, unemployment insurance benefits payments that are expected to be paid by the employment department in the 17-19 biennium. So we're anticipating other funds expenditure limitation for regular unemployment insurance benefits of $1.4 billion in 17-19 and federal funds non-limited payments of $70 billion. And there are obviously no FTE because these are just pass-through payments. So that is the summary of the LFO recommendations.
Questions, Senator Hansel.
Could you bring in all of them together? What are we between where we are now and what's being recommended on full-time positions?
Okay.
And then the budget itself.
Okay.
Is there a summary sheet there that I neglected to bring in my...
Yes. Okay. So depending on where we start from as our basis of comparison, okay, the 15-17 legislatively approved budget for the Employment Department was $1.9 billion, 1,272 positions, and that's 1,237.76 FTE.
What was that again? One.
Which one of those?
The one, the FTE.
Oh, the FTE, 1,237.76 FTE.
Okay.
Okay. And the legislative fiscal office recommended budget is $1.8 billion overall, 1,298 positions, and 1,239.78 FTE.
Thank you. Any other questions? Yes, Representative.
Along with Senator Hansen. Thank you. I know we're in the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can just go back up to about 35,000 feet.
I'll do my best.
And just looking at this from that level, knowing that the proposed current service level would be a reduction of 33 FTE from our current biennium.
Right.
Can you tell me, just from that high level, what the citizens of Oregon are going to get for adding 35 positions back in on top of what current service level would be?
Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Noble, the majority of those positions are added in the following packages. They're for the federal workforce operations tax credit. That was three people. The Federal Trade Act, so those people whose jobs have been affected by foreign competition, those people are going to be especially served. And then the other major place where FTE was added is the IT Modernization Initiative.
If I could follow, please. Do you know how many vacant positions there are currently?
Mr. Co-Chair and Representative Noble, I took all the vacant positions that I could find to both reclassify existing FTE. You'll notice from the current service level, we actually have added several because of these positions. So I took the existing vacant positions that we could find. Overall, from the current service level, we are adding because of the factors that I just mentioned.
Thank you. I appreciate the high-level view. If I can make one comment,
please.
I very much appreciate the department wanting to make sure, they just wanting to make sure that people are compensated for the work they're doing appropriately. I'm a little troubled that we have all of them at once, having run a much smaller department and keeping up on ensuring that people are working within the classification that they are, or making sure they're compensated appropriately. It seems like a lot of adjustment at once, and maybe it's because I'm new to the way state runs versus audits. It just seems to be a management responsibility, if you would indulge me, to ensure that this is an ongoing process.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Ms. Deister, are you through all 31 pages?
I am through all 31 pages.
Well, let me ask the committee, are there any further questions on the LFO recommendations?
Mr. Chair, I would move the LFO recommendations.
Colleagues, you have heard the motion from Co-Chair Johnson. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. So let's move on to performance measures.
Okay. Co-chairs and representatives, I'm just going to jump right down to the bottom of page 2 where it says LFO recommendations. I did my best to summarize the changes that we are recommending to the agency's performance measures as follows. With regard to key performance measure 1, the Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending to change the wording from the percentage of job seekers who got a job with new employment after registering with the Employment Department. to what you see presented, which is the percentage of adult program participants who are in unsubsidized employment during the second quarter after utilizing workforce operations services. So the targets are also changing with regard to this particular KPM. Basically, this is a more nuanced approach to try to get at the same idea of how many and what it's costing to provide services to this particular population. The target is recommended to be changed from 60% to 63%. Both the changes in wording and the change in target is meant to try to align the measure with similar data that the department already needs to report to the Federal Workforce Innovation to the federal government with regard to the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. So by aligning these two things, it's less work for the department and it's more relevant in the day-to-day working and job that they do. So that's the LFO recommendation on KPM number one. KPM number two is to change wording from the percentage of job seekers who were in employment 2 quarters after registering with the employment department to what you see in KPM 2, the percentage of adult program participants who are in unsubsidized employment during the fourth quarter after exiting the program. And I see that there's a typo. Should be exiting, not existing. The target has changed from 80% down to 62%. These changes are also aligning with data that the department needs to report to the with regard to the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. And the target is changing because the calculation is being based on participants employed in program year quarter four after exit divided by the total participants. And so the target is going down substantially.
Please, Senator.
I understand the alignment piece of it, but mm-hmm. We go from a acceptable and defensible passing grade to a failing grade. And I'm just trying to figure out, in order to align, we now set ourselves up to not even pass the course. What are we doing? I'd be happy to hear from the...
I've got statistics gentlemen right here.
I'd be happy to hear from the agency.
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Graham Slater. I'm the Deputy Director of the Oregon Employment Department. Senator Johnson and others, yes, in this one, what we're doing is moving to, in numbers one and two, we're moving to the measures under that Federal Workforce Act. And so, I mean, when you phrase it as 62% being passing or failing, this is saying that 62% of those people that we served will be still working 4 quarters out from the day that we ended serving them. That number was agreed on between our department and the Federal Department of Labor. And so when we testified on this, and we will commit to this, is that after 2 years of that act being in effect and being measured, we will be renegotiating with the feds to reset those. So it may be 62% now. If we find, with a good economy, for example, that things are coming in at 70% or 75%, we will be renegotiating that with the federal government, and we would obviously expect to have a conversation with you at that time. Right now, there is no active data because that Workforce Act is so new. So those are the levels that were negotiated, and that's why we included them here. They're completely, I should add as a statistics guy, they're completely not comparable with those previous levels. I mean, it's a whole different computation, a whole different equation. So it's like, don't even think of those on the same piece of paper.
Follow?
Please.
What gives you any degree of confidence that things aren't going to change substantially at the federal level and that you'll find the program modified in such a way that in 2 years when you're sitting down to renegotiate, you wouldn't even recognize what you're negotiating over?
So, Mr. Chair and Senator Johnson, I mean, with changes in elections at the national level, just like all of you, we don't know exactly what to expect. So, as I mean, some of us have been around a long time with different administrations, and we've seen things ebb and flow. Again, this is all part of an ongoing conversation. So if things change dramatically, we would be back here having a conversation with you.
That's fair. Thank you.
Yes, Representative.
Well, thank you, Co-Chair. I understand the idea of negotiating, but to me, negotiating is kind of like finding the lowest common denominator and isn't necessarily what you want to set performance at. So I would encourage you to maybe take a realistic look at what we would expect in Oregon as opposed to what we're just going to comply with a negotiation with the federal government. Excuse me.
Thank you. Noted.
Any other questions? Thanks so much.
Okay. For key performance measure number 3, the Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending that we change the target from a static $200 to $400 for 2018 and then to $416 for the year 2019. With targets adjusted for inflation each biennium by a maximum of 4%. And the reason that we're making this recommendation is because the figure in KPM number 3, cost per placement, had not been adjusted for inflation, and they were missing it. We're missing it by a lot. $400 per placement is basically what they came in at as actuals in the most recent reporting year. I don't believe that target had been adjusted for any kind of inflation over time in my memory. And so it was not really a particularly relevant or useful measure the way that it stood. So LFO was recommending that we, going forward, from now on, make some sort of allowance for the fact that costs of the agency are going to go up. As they do, we factor in an inflation factor in the agency's budgets. Remember that you're dealing with an agency of 1,300 people, so a lot of their costs are based upon personal services, and as those costs increase, perhaps the target, there should be some reflection of that in the performance measure target.
Questions from the committee?
Yes.
Yes, Representative.
I'm trying to formulate the question. So does this have an impact on how a department might justify their future budget increases or decreases?
Co-chairs and Representative Reardon, I don't believe so. Again, current service level does, for a budget that the budget is built assuming certain increases in costs going forward from one biennium to the next.
You're not building your budget on this.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Other questions? Ms. Dyster, anything else?
Yes.
I thought so.
Okay. KPM number 6 replaces the previous measure. The previous measure measured total cost of UI insurance programs divided by total initial claims. So we are recommending replacement with the revised KPM number 6 as proposed in front of you. The measure that is proposed for deletion did not take into account how many claims were denied, nor the total cost of benefits actually paid to claimants. So it wasn't as relevant as what we are recommending with regard to KPM number 6. And you'll find KPM number 6 on the second page of the KPM report. So what it reads now is unemployment insurance administrative costs as a percentage of benefits paid. And the last part of that phrase is key here. As a percentage of benefits paid is prior, I believe it was measuring the cost of the whole UI program, not just those who received benefits. There are a certain percentage that don't qualify, for example. So it was, this is believed to be a more relevant measure. KPM number 10 There's a proposed change here that is meant to better reflect the complexity of various cases within the Office of Administrative Hearings. The cases that are brought to the office, they don't really have control over what they're going to hear. And there are economic factors and policies that govern agencies that refer their cases. So LFO was recommending that the methodology for KPM number 10 be revised from the total cost of OAH programs divided by the total number of referrals to the average cost of a hearing, and that the target be revised as well from $467 to $515. And then new targets that are proposed in successive biennia will be based on the governor's recommended budget and OAH anticipated caseload. And that's how we'll determine, basically by comparing those two things on a going forward basis, that will help determine what targets look like in future years. And part of that is because of the timing of when the agency is required to propose their KPM targets. So KPM 11 is recommended to be changed. The target there is recommended to be changed from 75% upwards to 80% based on recent performance data. They're doing pretty well, and we believe that the KPM should reflect that higher level of achievement so that they can maintain that. And KPM number 13, the Employment Department is refining its customer service survey, and it anticipates proposing revised targets in 1921 after evaluating those survey responses and performance utilizing the new survey mechanism. So the last reported result you'll see was 79.8%. The targets for 2018 and 2019 are still at 95.5. But again, we just started using a new survey mechanism, so it will be, we will look forward to seeing how they do under that new mechanism in the coming years. And I believe that concludes the performance measure.
Don't you have 14, Dan? Measure 14?
Yeah. That should be KPM number 14. I apologize. I think. Hang on. And I apologize because these reports are not particularly user-friendly, either in the generating of them nor the reading of them. So there is a new KPM number 14 being presented as well, and that is the survey response rate. So the idea is to basically look at how many people respond to a response rate from the Workforce and Economic Research Division. Yes.
How can they possibly control that? You're going to make it a condition of employment or staple a 20 to it? I mean,
well, actually, we had a very long discussion with Mr. Slater when he was the director of the Workforce and Economic Research Division. And basically, in order for that division to have good data, they need to have employers respond to that survey. Otherwise, that is the foundation of everything that they do going forward. So if they don't have a high level of response, their data is not as good. And so they are looking for a 73% response rate. As you know, anytime you get a survey, you are likely as not to fill it out and return it.
I'd like to hear Mr. Slater explain how he's going to incentivize this. I mean, that's breathtaking.
Mr. Slater, welcome back.
Thank you. Scrolling through papers here. So, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, yes, in my former life, I was the research division director.
I'm just going to have you remind us, you still are Mr. Slater.
I am still Mr. Slater, Graham Slater, deputy director. So, Senator Johnson, yeah, we on these surveys that we do to businesses, there are a lot of strategies for getting response rates that are way up there, far more than you would get from the typical sort of internet kind of survey. So great survey tools, great follow-up, phone follow-up, email follow-up, personal visits, even if you want to go extreme. We have never offered people $20 bills to respond. That's not in our purview. But yes, we in Oregon, we are certainly actually exceeding some of these levels right now. Some of these are Bureau of Labor Statistics mandates also for all states. We tend to do better, far better than the average. So it's not unusual for us to be getting survey response rates in the 70s, even for a couple surveys in the 80s percentage rates. And as Michelle said, these two surveys that we chose for this measure, if we do not get good response rates on these, then a lot of our other data, like employment and wages and projections of future employment, they all become suspect because you're starting from a really poor place. So that was why we chose this.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Senator. You raise a good question. I think one of the incentivizing points not raised by Mr. Slater is shorter or less intimidating surveys.
Survey design is exactly that, yes.
Yes, particularly when small businesses receive these documents and they open them up and said, here's another mandatory survey from your Department of Employment. We're here to help you. Thank you so much. Any other questions on this point?
May I throw out a tip? Based on my past life at Tektronix, I used to have to get customers to sign up, and I gave away really nice T-shirts. So if you find that helpful, I could set you up with a designer.
From the Department of Research.
Yeah. I'm here to help.
I think the representative's saying he's got a lot of leftover T-shirts if you need any. So.
I would also note, co-chairs and members, that this KPM number 14 basically came about as a recommendation from the Legislative Fiscal Office with regard to last biennium's budget. Every other division except Workforce and Economic Research had a KPM, and so this was the KPM that we worked together over the interim to propose for the Workforce and Economic Research Division. As you can imagine, it is really hard to measure performance on what they do, so trying to get that good survey data was seen as the best way to try to influence the performance of the department based on factors that they themselves can have some sort of control over.
Senator.
I'm just noting the number of changes in the KPMs. Mm-hmm. This is a lot, and I have been kind of a hawk about not wanting to change data one biennia over another for fear that we not really get a measurement. Back a million years ago when I ran a state agency, we got so busy chasing KPMs, we sort of forgot about customer service. And my yardstick in private sector was on time, under budget, did we do the job safely, and did we get called back? And I worry a little bit that you're chasing an awful lot of numbers, but it seems to me that they are foundational data for a lot of other places. They are in cooperation, and I use that word loosely, with our federal partners to keep the federal money turned on, and we need to dance to whatever tune they're playing. And those would be my only comments. These are just an awful lot of changes, and I'm not sure that they're truly a measuring stick of how well is the public dollar being spent inside your agency. I'm not implying that it's not being well spent, but that, I think, was the original purpose of these KPMs.
Thank you, Co-Chair. That being said, might you have a motion for us?
I would. Mr. Chair, I would move the LFO recommendations on key performance measures.
Colleagues, any additional questions or comments on key performance measures? I don't see any. Are there any objections to the motion to approve the key performance measures? I see no objections. Therefore, the motion is carried. Ms. Dyster, let's move on to some new information, the budget note, which in some ways may look a little bit like a key performance measure.
Indeed. Co-chairs, members of the committee, the Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending the following budget note. It is the report on liquidated debt and delinquent accounts receivable. The Employment Department is directed to report to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means or to a meeting of the Emergency Board after the release of the Legislative Fiscal Office's annual report on liquidated and delinquent accounts receivable, which is next scheduled for December 2017. the Employment Department's report will include how much of the total ending balance of reported liquidated and delinquent accounts are attributable to uncollected unemployment insurance benefit overpayments, uncollected unemployment insurance taxes, and other causes, what actions and circumstances are defined as write-offs, adjustments, and reversals for the purposes of the liquidated and delinquent accounts receivable report. So they're being asked to sort of define those terms that they use to calculate the numbers in there. The efforts that the agency has made to reduce their delinquent debt as reported, progress made to reduce the ending balance of liquidated and delinquent accounts receivable as compared to the previous year's report by 10%, and how its debt collection efforts relate to federal performance metrics, and an action plan for continued progress toward reducing delinquent debt as reported, including additional resources that may be necessary to improve that performance. And we worked with the agency collectively. I know that, as you can recall, Representative Gomberg has been very interested in this whole issue, and this is an attempt to address it in the next biennia over the course of the interim.
Thank you, Ms. Dyster. Senator.
I would characterize Representative Gomberg's efforts in this regard as heroic, and he has made more progress than I have seen in many previous biennia. It doesn't say this in the budget note, but I just want to lay out my expectation that in the report made back by the Employment Department that they would also say who in the agency is ultimately responsible for writing off any debt. I want a name and a phone number and a desk number, and not this, you know, somebody in the bowels of the building did it. I want to know who the accountable person is that waves the wand and makes massive amounts of uncollected debt disappear.
Well, thank you for that suggestion, Senator, and also for your very kind words. Colleagues, just a little bit of context here. There are five agencies statewide that are carrying over $100 million in debt, some of them substantially more than $100 million. The Employment Division is probably the smallest of those top five, but the only one within our portfolio. And so this budget note was prepared to address this particular agency. You won't see a note like this on other budgets that we're going to be considering because they are not in the large category that the Employment Division is. I'll also mention for some context that that a similar phrasing has been prepared as an amendment to Senate Bill 89, which is moving its way through the process, which would apply essentially these same standards to any agency with more than $50 million in debt so that we can begin to address this not only in this committee, but across the board. So I hope that moves forward. But, of course, if you're looking at this budget note, what you're seeing is we're saying, what kind of debt do you have? How much is really collectible? How much are you writing off? And where's the plan to reduce it short-term and long-term? So those are the recommendations for a budget note and a little bit of the background. Senator, do you have a motion for us?
Mr. Chair. Oopsie daisy.
I'm sorry.
Please, Representative Rudin.
I was inspired by Senator Johnson again. Who is the one person responsible for the modernization project?
Well, co-chairs, Representative Rudin, I would imagine that Ms. Erickson would raise her hand and say the buck stops with her as the agency director.
Okay. I see the hand raised. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chair.
Senator.
I would move the LFO recommendation on the budget note as presented in the budget document.
Thank you so much. Are there any comments or questions regarding the budget note? Seeing none, are there objections to approving the budget note as presented, along with Senator Johnson's additional commentary? Seeing none, the motion carries. Ms. Dyster, recommended changes.
Okay, the recommended changes you're basically going to find in the Dash 1 amendment, which is on OLIS. So basically, the Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending a budget of $148,035,135 other funds, 1,424,000,000 other funds non-limited, 160,330,161 federal funds, 70 billion federal funds non-limited, and 1,298 positions, which is 1,239.78 FTE. That budget level is those dollar amounts, but for the non-limited amounts, are reflected in the dash one amendment that was posted to OLS.
Senator.
Mr. Chair, before I make the amendment, I couldn't help sitting as I am looking out and seeing the chief financial officer's face. Is there a typo? Is there something that caught your attention? Ms. Deister read those numbers, you registered alarm. And my antennas may be all screwed up, but you look surprised, and that bothered me.
For the record, I'm Michelle Lisper with the Chief Financial Office, Co-Chair Gomberg, and Senator Johnson. Was it 70 million federal, non-limited, rather than 70 billion?
Yeah. I meant to say 70 billion federal funds non-limited, but non-limited dollars are not reflected in the
right.
Dash one amendments anyway, because they're non-limited, so they're not part of the budget. So. Apologies.
Okay. Well,
sorry, that was lots of zeros.
You didn't have your poker face on, and I just wanted to make sure that we didn't have any miscommunication here.
It should be 70 billion federal funds non-limited.
All right, so are we missing three zeros in the printed version?
That's not what's real.
No, it should be 70 million. I apologize.
I'm a little confused as to which apology is the one you're offering.
Okay. So let me try this again. From the top, the LFO recommendation is for $148,035,135 other funds, $160,330,161 federal funds, $1,424,000,000 other funds non-limited, 70 million non-limited federal funds for a total funds budget of $1,802,365,296. So, yes, it was supposed to be 70 million.
Good. It seems to be nods all around. Mr. Chair, I would move the adoption of the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 5007.
Thank you so much, Co-Chair Johnson. Colleagues, any questions or comments?
Mm.
We got our millions and billions straight.
We do.
All right. Is there any objection? Seeing none, motion carries.
Mr. Chair. Oops, you probably need the LFO recommendation first.
Yeah. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends that House Bill 5007, as amended by the Dash 1 amendment, be moved to the full committee on Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 5007, as amended, to the full committee with a do-pass recommendation.
Thank you for that motion, Co-Chair Johnson. Any comments, colleagues, questions? Are there any objections? See one objection, Representative Nierman. No other objections. Seeing none other, the motion carries. And Ms. Deister, we need carriers to full and to...
And to the floors.
To the floors.
And I promise I will make this pony as painless as I possibly can.
Senator Monroe volunteers on the Senate side.
And I'll take it to full and to the floor.
Okay.
If you just emphasize which numbers are millions
yes.
and which ones
which
are billions.
Which ones are millions and which ones are billions,
there's nothing,
yes.
Nothing like standing up with a piece of paper with an awful lot of commas.
Exactly.
And making sure you get it right. So I believe that is all the business we have regarding this work session. Ms. Deister, am I missing anything?
I do not believe so.
All right.
I'm looking to Eric just to double check. I think we're good.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and close the work session. Ms. Deister, I'm trying to remember, are we going to see you back with any future budgets?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, you are. You've not seen the last of me. You still have the Oregon Liquor Control Commission presented to you, and Housing and Community Services Department.
Well, then we're not rid of you yet.
No.
But I will thank you for your good work on this budget. Colleagues, if you note your schedules, we will be back here tomorrow for some policy bills. And we're beginning to see some of those measures spilling over the top of the dam, and I expect that we will be getting more of them shortly.
Co-Chair Johnson, you have anything for us before we adjourn?
No, sir.
Anything for the good of the order? In that case, thank you all, colleagues. We are adjourned.
Okay.